How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is January 28, 2014, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We're here live tonight talking Raw and the Elimination Chamber and a big fight involving Chael Sonnen that maybe we'll see during Ultimate Fighter. Maybe we'll never see it. I guess we will see the fight one of these days in some form. And
We'll see the Chael, unless Wanderlei Silver Chael Sonnen gets hurt, we'll see the fight.
Yes.
The actual fight. I don't know if we'll see the fight that happened this afternoon or this morning, whatever. It was earlier today. I know that.
Well, let's talk about the fight before we go to Raw, because a fight broke out on the set of Ultimate Fighter, and it involved Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva. And what happened?
I got a couple different versions of what happened, but the general gist of the situation is that they were at the gym, and Wanderlei was all riled up, and Chael was talking to him, and Wanderlei started yelling at him like he was cutting a promo, like, you know, the promos that he was cutting on that, in that video where he's doing those pro wrestling things. So he's doing that, and he may have spit in Chael's face.
Oops.
But he definitely took a swing at Chael, for sure. Chael took him down. Chael may have pushed him first, but Wanderlei took a swing at Chael. Chael took him down. Chael was punching him from the top. Wanderlei was elbowing from the bottom. And then Andre Dida, who's a fighter, who's one of the assistant coaches on Wanderlei's team, threw several shots to the back of Chael's head, and then it was broken up right away. So Chael's got some lumps on his head from those sucker punches. So from Andre Dida. So that's the situation. And Dana is going to have to make a ruling. I think that there's a lot of speculation that Andre Dida is going to be kicked off the show. And that's the deal. I don't know if this was filmed for, you know, I mean, they're filming Ultimate Fighter. I don't know if the cameras were there. I'm pretty sure they were. And if that's the case, I'm pretty sure it'll end up on the reality show at some point. And the reality show is only on Fight Pass, by the way.
So, yeah, not a.
It's not going to be on FS1 or FS2 because it's going to start March the 9th. So they don't want to have more than one season of Ultimate Fighter going on television at the same time. And they've got the one season right now that no one's watching. And then,
well, damn it, they should have thought about this in advance then.
What?
They should have thought about this in advance then.
No, but the other one overlaps the Edgar Penn season, which is an American season. So, but I mean, the whole point is that, you know, one of the lures of the Fight Pass was being able to. But it's also the show's in Portuguese, so it really couldn't air here.
Well, I guess, I mean,
it's for Globo, so it's in the whole show's in Portuguese.
I'm just baffled at the idea that a Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva season of Ultimate Fighter was not created for the U.S. market.
Well, Globo's paying for it. They get a lot of money out of the Brazilian market.
Could they use some of that money to make a U.S. version of this, since I think a lot of people will be interested in this season?
Globo has exclusive on this one. I mean, they could have aired it, but the problem, you know, they want some stuff on Fight Pass too. Now, I don't know about the fight. I don't know what's going on with the fight, because I've heard a rumor that the fight itself will also only be on Fight Pass,
that I think would be a major mistake.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree there.
Now,
at the same time, it's like WWE's got all this exclusive stuff on Fight Pass. So, I mean, on their network, so they're trying to have some content on the network, which actually led to some other stuff, because you know, Dana just doesn't understand what WWE's doing, because he feels that they're devaluing their big shows by putting their pay-per-views out for $10. But you know, he said that he's got a lot of admiration for Vince, even though he knows that Vince talks bad about him. But he said that he doesn't understand, you know, doing that. But again, the economics are different. I mean, if his pay-per-views were doing, you know, a lot less, then it wouldn't be as much of a stretch. And, you know, again, it's uncharted waters. Doesn't work. You can always change. I mean, I know it's a.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be that easy.
No, it's not going to be that easy. No, you get people to spend $10, then you want to spend $55. that won't be easy at all. I think that, again, the thing is WrestleMania is so much bigger than all their other shows, and they can, if this doesn't work, they can next year not put WrestleMania on the network. They'll be, you know, the people will complain, but they'll still buy WrestleMania at that price. At least a lot of people will. So that's not, you know, if it doesn't work out, so they would be sacrificing those other pay-per-views, but in theory, the network should be able to make enough money to cover for that. And even if it doesn't, the TV rights package, if they get the increase they're expecting, you know, they're going to be fine. I mean, right now I don't worry too much about WWE economics, because they got a lot of positives coming up. Whether you know the product is good or the product is bad, it doesn't even matter, because they've got a financial cushion It's not signed yet, but
it's not signed. I mean, we shouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves. I mean,
but their stuff with US. I mean, I don't know the numbers USA and NBC Universal actually is throwing around, but I do know the negotiations are going well, and they promised double to the stock market, and so they're going to have to, you know, if NBC doesn't offer double, they can't sign right away. They're going to have to then open it up to other companies. And, you know, if nobody else wants it, it's you know, it's possible that they're not going to get double, and it's possible that they're not even going to get a big increase. But my gut is that NBC is already offering a good-sized increase, and NBC wants it. So, they're offering the Hall of, you know, they're offering to give them a Hall of Fame. So, I mean, it's like, it's very clear that
explain that to everybody that hasn't heard that story yet.
Yeah, okay, so as part of the negotiations, and this is kind of funny, because NBC has offered, as part of the negotiations, besides the money increase, whatever it's going to be, is to allow them to have their Hall of Fame at Universal, which they own, because NBC Universal, in Orlando, which is actually going to be not far at all, you know, very short walk from where TNA tapes TV, which is really interesting, because you know WWE is not going to want their Hall of Fame in the same place that TNA tapes TV. So, and Universal owns the property, and that's going to be I don't know that WWE will go in there and tell them, you know, if we got our Hall of Fame there, you can't be renting, you know, the building down, you know, in the exact same place for TNA to tape television. I don't know that they'll say that. I know what's going on here, and based on what's going on here, I think they'll say that. So I think that's going to be, you know, it could be another issue for TNA financially. Of course, this is down the road. That Hall of Fame isn't going to open like next week or next month, but it's, you know, if the deal is signed with NBC Universal, and I do know as a fact, I mean, there was a New York Post story kind of saying that they may. I know as a fact that, in fact, that has, in fact, been offered, that, you know, that they'll do that Hall of Fame. And WWE, not so much Vince, but Triple H, you know, is a big fan of doing a Hall of Fame. Vince really doesn't care, but Triple H does, and Triple H wields a lot of power right now. And they have been collecting stuff so for a Hall of Fame. You know, they've been starting to do that. So he wants that thing there. So that's another interesting story to look out for down the line.
Now, what happens if they sign a 5-year deal with NBC Universal?
Yeah.
And they got...
I would bet you that well...
Okay,
5 years. That's fine.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Let's just say they sign a 5-year deal, or whatever. It doesn't matter to the point of my question. They sign this deal with NBC Universal. NBC Universal builds them this physical Hall of Fame. They put all this money into it. They do all this and that. And then 5 years down the road, Spike goes, $50 million extra, come to us.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I think that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they're gonna, you know, to build that Hall of Fame, they're gonna want a longer term.
Sure.
Maybe they're gonna, but I don't know. Like for WWE, I mean, the one thing that I think, I mean, the networks are trying a lot, you know, with all these sports like NASCAR and all that, and you know, with UFC. You know, I mean, like the UFC contract was 7 years. NASCAR, I think NASCAR was 10. I could be wrong. But, and there's some college football stuff, you know, that's freaking, you know, some of these college football contracts are much longer. One of the things that TV is trying to do is they're paying a ton of money for these live sports, but it's to keep that price at this price for a long, long, long time. So if WWE is being treated like live sports and they're wanting to and they're trying to get money like live sports, it could be, you know, one of those things where this is not like a 3-year deal or a 5-year deal. It may be longer. It may not be. But, I mean, as far as like what happens to the Hall of Fame, if then they that's a really good question, and I don't know the answer.
All right, let's get into Raw, then we'll get into more MMA news here a little bit later on. This was the follow-up to the Royal Rumble, and we've already got some participants in the Elimination Chamber match. We've got Randy Orton, John Cena, Sheamus, and Daniel Bryan, the latter three of whom won a match in the main event on Raw via disqualification over the Wyatt Clan. Or, I'm sorry, when the Wyatt Clan ran in over the Shield. And looks like it's probably going to set up Wyatt Clan versus the Shield at the Chamber. Got three baby faces in the Chamber.
Yeah.
And more to come. Probably Brock Lesnar being one of them.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think there's a shot at that, and they're certainly building towards that. I could see, you know, you watch the TV, you would think that Lesnar's going to be in there, so that would be number five. And then I think that the other one would probably be CM Punk, because who would CM Punk have to go against if the Shield and the Wyatts are going against each other? So that's
a lot of baby faces in that match.
Yeah, I know. But it's not like they got a lot of other heels over. I mean, what heel are we missing?
I may not be missing Del Rio, actually.
No,
Del Rio Batista.
I'm figuring Del Rio Batista. Del Rio Batista was definitely booked for this card, but, you know, things have changed. But I don't know how much they've changed, you know, as far as, like, I don't think that anything that happened there is going to, well, it could, because in the sense of if Batista goes all out heel, then Batista Del Rio doesn't make sense. So, and Batista was, I mean, I watched him, and it wasn't like he was all out heel, but he felt like a heel to me. I mean, the crowd didn't really know what to react. They booed him, but it was more like they didn't know what to do with him. You know, he got light boos. It wasn't like they were vociferously booing him, but they sure weren't cheering him at all.
Show opened up with Hunter and Steph out. Immediate yes chance. Hunter mocked the fans, said, "Did someone not get what they wanted last night?" Put over how awesome Randy Orton's win was. He plugged,
yeah, really awesome.
Plugged Batista's win. Their friend, he noted.
Yeah, which of course, that doesn't that make him a heel?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know. So
signed Orton to the Chamber match, at which point Daniel Bryan came down. Daniel said the fans should just stop chanting yes because they didn't want to make the authority mad. He said the reality is everybody was talking about one thing at the Royal Rumble, and that was how great his match was. Hunter said, "Yes, it was a good little effort." Bryan wanted to know why he was not in the Rumble. He said he asked for it. He begged them for it. The fans wanted it. Noted there was a yes movement. He said, "You guys shut me down." He said, "I've competed twice a million times. You've put me in handicap matches. You've put me in matches where I've had to wrestle several times in one evening. Why not again last night?" And Hunter said, "Well, we learned our lesson. We didn't want to jeopardize your health by making you work twice." So, Bryan said, "You guys don't care what's best for business. You only care about what is worse for me." And Steph says, "What, you think all of these fans came only to see you?" At which point they went crazy with yes chants. And so Bryan polled the crowd. "Did you come to see Orton?" They all chanted no. "Did you come to see Hunter?" They all chanted no. The fans were attempting to chant Bryan's name in unison, but hey, big building. Couldn't get it done. So he said he wanted a match in the Chamber. He demanded it, actually, from Hunter. And Hunter's response was to summon the Shield to beat his ass. Sheamus at first ran down to make the save. He was overwhelmed. And then John Cena ran down, and they announced a match for the main event, which...
New shorts.
He did?
Cena.
What were they tonight? I didn't notice.
Yeah, they were just new.
New jorts?
Yeah.
I didn't know they were new. They have a price tag on them? You had jorts on last night.
Yeah, but they were different. They're a different style. They were like far more modern than the ones that he was using out of the, you know.
Hold on a second. Decade. You're telling me there are modern jean shorts? I refuse to believe that.
Well, they were a lot. They were longer and they were tighter, which actually I thought would actually make it like kind of harder to work in. I guess it really doesn't make a difference, but yeah, just new.
Hmm. So anyway, they had various points during the night. Called this an elimination match. I guess they're referring to the team that lost would be eliminated from the chamber. It was not
I thought when they said that we're getting like a five-fall match.
They said elimination match several times, and then
it wasn't.
Yeah. So that was the opening segment.
You know, I mean, you got to remember that this show was written. I heard that they called the writers back in to redo the show. This was at 3:09. Was when I got the message, and it had just happened, so I'm assuming it was 3 o'clock our time, which is 6 o'clock their time, which is 2 hours before the show. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that when you do that, there's things that may fall through the crack. Like, it may have been an elimination match at one point because, my God, they gave them 25 minutes, and then someone may have gone, we don't want to, you know. The way this finishes and the way the match was going, they really couldn't eliminate people. It would have made no sense based on what they were doing at the end to have like a one-on-one, because if they had a one-on-one at the end with the Wyatts running in, the one they have to run in on is Cena, which means you have to eliminate Bryan, and that probably wouldn't have gone over well at all tonight. So, who knows? Who knows what it was, but they certainly – I mean, I was expecting an elimination match for a while, and – We certainly didn't get that.
No, we did not. So that was the opening segment. Anything new on Daniel Bryan this afternoon after yesterday?
No, I mean, other than they redo the whole freaking show at the last minute. So, I mean, and I don't know exactly what that means. I mean, I was presuming he was going to be in the Elimination Chamber anyway. So maybe he'll win the title in this one. Maybe he'll win the title at Mania. Maybe he'll win it in Seattle. I'm sure he's going to win the title. I shouldn't say I'm sure because I was pretty sure he was going to win the title in October and he didn't. But I don't know.
I heard the big change, or one of the big changes they made this afternoon, was he was not originally going to get any promo time, and now he got promo time on the final.
That may very well be the case. And you know what else? And I think this is, you know, again, it's weird because, you know, for so long they did so much talking and the wrestling time was limited. Now they do a lot of wrestling on the show. And, you know, sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. It depends on the quality of the matches. But, my God, you know, it's like I was talking to Austin this morning, you know, right, you know, about the show last night and Saturday night. And we were just going on, like, you know, what we were done on different things. But anyway, when John Cena lost to Bray Wyatt, that moment demanded a John Cena promo, you know, about, like, you guys, you know, it's like instead of him just, like, walking in the back, acting all dazed, and then let's do the Royal Rumble, it's like, you know, he should be furious. They cost him the world championship. He had the match won. And, you know, If you don't complain about it and you don't say it, then no one's going to care about that angle. And if no one's going to care about that angle, then why the hell are you doing it at WrestleMania? So, I mean, it to me, I think that you needed that interview right then and there with the real emotion and all that, okay? But they didn't do it then and there. They didn't do it tonight either.
No.
So like, you know, and he's not. And he's not scheduled for SmackDown, which means that he'll do it in a week. If he even does it, and by then it's just like,
why? Hold on one second. In storyline, why would he care? Because he's already in a match for the championship.
Yeah, now you're right. But I mean, the whole point is that he should have cared last night.
Yeah, probably should have.
Yeah.
But he probably knew that within 5 minutes of Raw starting, he was going to get another championship match because he's John Cena.
I guess so. Well, then.
Seems to be the way things work in this company.
Yeah. So now, you know, but you know, here's the thing. So now he's going to wrestle Bray Wyatt because Bray Wyatt screwed him out of a championship match after he's already gotten another championship match anyway.
Well, maybe they'll screw him again.
It's harder in the chamber, but you're right. Maybe they will. And they did interfere in his match. But they interfered in his match And all, you know, what was the result of that?
They paid him back.
They paid him back. He's getting back. He's got a championship match thanks to them interfering.
He should be thanking Bray next week, not angry at him.
Yeah. So I guess there's no reason for the promo next week, is there?
Well, see?
Other than to say thank you.
All right, so we had Rey and Sin Cara against the Real Americans. Rey officially now just a guy. They are doing a deal where they're teasing a breakup. Zeb screamed at and slapped Swagger for not getting his stuff together. Rey got the hot tag, 619 blind tag by Sin Cara. He missed a senton. Cesaro hit the uppercut and the neutralizer for the pinfall. I actually thought it was going to be a good finish leading to Sin Cara actually getting a pin, but should have known better.
They've already given up on him. And like I said, I knew that this he didn't have the charisma to hang at that level. So I think it's just they're keeping the character alive to sell merchandise to a degree, but you know, just whatever. I mean the key thing here is it looked like they were setting up something with Zeb and Swagger.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know how that'll go. It's probably going to be a slow thing. It's just kind of,
Of the two, Swagger is the one that should be turning babyface here?
What?
Of the two, Swagger is the one that they think should be turning babyface?
I sure hope not.
Well, why? If you're building a feud between Swagger and Zeb Coulter, it leads to a split.
Why didn't he slap Cesaro? Because Cesaro is the one that people want to see turn?
Yes, that's my question.
Yes, that's a very good question. I was thinking the same thing. Hmm. Because Cesaro's the natural babyface of the two. He's got a shot at getting over as a babyface. I mean, Swagger's not going to get over as a babyface. It ain't going to happen. I mean, but Cesaro, you know, I mean, Cesaro should be a babyface right now.
We had Bad News Barrett. He's back. He has bad news. Daniel Bryan is not in the Rumble. Oh, wait, too late. Actually, his bad news this week was funny. We're going to get a Miz Dolph match. This, he said, was bad news. Two losers here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Well, he was right about that. We had a network preview for the Monday Night War. The network debuts, everybody, 4 weeks from tonight. What a night that's going to be.
Boy, I bet you that Monday Night War thing, I bet you that's not going to be slanted. I think it's going to be unbiased right down the middle.
Of course it will.
Yeah.
There's no bias in WWE. Come on now. Fandango and Truth. Oh, this match. They had Emma out there, Emmalution sign. Xavier did commentary. It went like 2 minutes. Truth won clean. And then they danced. Absolutely nothing to this segment.
It's just killing time. I think the only reason for the segment was so they could get Woods out there to talk about, you know, that he's working for his PhD and that he's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because they never really, I mean, it's been mentioned, but it's never really been pushed. And that's really the only reason he's on the roster is because they.
You know, I wonder in a case like that, there's so much BS in wrestling. How many fans actually believe he's getting a PhD? And then how many of those people actually care?
Well, I don't think anyone cares as far as like the number of people who believe. That's a hard one to say. I think some will. I believe it because it's true.
Well, sure, but
anyway. Did you notice all the stuff about East Carolina and Furman and everything?
No.
Okay, so this is the thing when JBL is going. East Carolina is the Harvard of the South. Okay, Vince and Linda McMahon went to East Carolina University.
I see.
That's why they said that.
Then
when he's going, no, Furman is the Harvard of the South. That's because Xavier got his degree from Furman.
I see.
So that's why that was the inside joke there. And it was, in fact, Vince, you know, in JBL's ear bringing up that East Carolina. I don't know that JBL knows that off the top of his head, but, you know, it's just Vince. I mean, you know, I think that if you know, in the 80s, you know, when Vince was doing his bio and everything, I think that at one point that Vince had claimed to have an MBA from Harvard, although it was actually just a BA from East Carolina University. But, you know, in the 80s, that sounded a lot more impressive.
We had Randy Orton coming down. He was introduced by Brad Maddox. He noted flippantly that he beat John Cena again, which, by the way, is a fact. I believe the 900th time he has beaten him. He's outraged that he's in the chamber because Randy Orton, you see, is new. He is unaware that as champion, you are going to have to defend the championship, conceivably against different opponents.
And on every pay-per-view.
Yes. This is news to Randy Orton. Very upset that as champion, he has to defend his championship. So Dave came out, and when his music hit, there was a big pop, and then everyone booed. So he came down and congratulated.
Actually, it was more quiet, like I said. I mean, there were boos, but it was just like so, it was like a lot of nothing, really.
Yeah. So he congratulated Randy, said it was a great match, but listen, buddy, I'm back. I said I was here for three reasons. I'm going to win the Rumble. I'm going to go to Mania, and I'm going to win the title. Two down, he said. It's
one
kind
down.
Of funny because it was...
Well, sort of two, I guess. Because
he said two down, but really, it's just one.
Well, but one, the other, but one
his
of them,
three goals were two goals.
Yeah, you're right, because the one goal is, the first goal and the second goal are essentially the same thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay.
So, crowd chanted Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's right. There's no way around that.
And Daniel Bryan, he said he didn't care who he faced, including, he said, Daniel Bryan. Said on April 6th he was winning the title. Everybody booed. Out came Brock. Paul addressed Brad Maddox, and he said, listen, Brock is very angry, as usual, and he wants his championship match. And so he wants tonight to either face Randy Orton for the title or face Batista for the shot at the title. One or the other, he wants an answer tonight. And so Brad was sent back to get the answer. A task he failed at.
He got an answer, it just wasn't...
That's true.
It was no.
It was no. Miz and Ziggler in the Battle of Cleveland, they said.
Battle for Cleveland.
Battle of
so
Cleveland.
That's like the
Battle of
Monday
Cleveland.
Night War and Monday Night Wars.
Battle of Cleveland.
Like
it was not
matter.
Battle for Cleveland, Dave. You're confused. That's what JBL kept saying.
Oh, okay.
It was Battle of Cleveland.
You're right.
JBL thought it was Battle for Cleveland. He had to be corrected, apparently by Stephanie over the headset.
Yeah, so you just corrected me.
That's right. So this match was so exciting that there was a light Cleveland sucks chant
that
in the
was,
middle
that
of
was,
this match.
You know what? That might have been a new one.
Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a wrestling show where the people chanted that the city the show is in sucks? Like, I mean...
Well, maybe
Boston,
they were acknowledging
they York,
that...
In Boston, they'll chant New York sucks. In Pittsburgh, they'll chant Philadelphia sucks. And Philadelphia, they'll chant everything sucks. But... I can't remember ever hearing people chant that their own city sucked.
Well, Miz was the representative of Cleveland, and thus it makes sense to chant that Cleveland sucks.
Because the Miz is from Cleveland.
Yes.
Yes.
He represented their town. And he lost.
Nope.
Miz tried his...
Yeah. He lost to get to the zigzag, for sure.
Tried his figure four, Dolph got the rope, zigzag out of nowhere, 1, 2, 3, sucks to be the Miz.
Yeah. I mean, Dolph's from Cleveland, too, so...
Yes. We had the, speaking of sucks to be, Usos and Rybacksel. Ryback's in the ring just clunking around. Uso made a comeback on Axel. Ryback made a blind tag. Uso made a blind tag. Ryback ended up eating two super kicks and then was big splashed and pinned.
That ain't a good sign for him, is it?
No.
When you got Curtis Axel as your partner and you're the one taking the pin on television?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess he upset the wrong people at some point in the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, huh?
It's shocking, quite frankly. Yeah. Del Rio and Kofi Kingston.
Maybe they got mad at him for turning down that arm wrestling match.
That might be it.
Or Twitter.
Maybe there's more.
Although, you know what? I have to say this, as far as the Twitter stuff goes, I actually find him really funny on Twitter. I mean, if you really look at it, it's kind of funny. So, anyway.
By the way, I'm not going to read this person's Twitter name because wildly inappropriate, but they noted that CM Punk can face Kane at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, he probably should, shouldn't he?
So that would leave another open spot.
But they didn't announce CM Punk and Kane, but it does make sense that would be the match.
What heel could be in there?
God, we're going back to Alberto Del Rio.
Can't be Alberto Del Rio.
could. It's
him and Batista. This match opened with him cutting a promo on Batista.
Yeah.
So I presume this is going to lead to a... I guess it could be a TV match, but...
It shouldn't be, though.
So the crowd was bored by this battle.
With the Kofi Kingston match?
Kofi and Del Rio.
God, it went forever. It really didn't go forever, but it really dragged. You know, the part of the problem is that when you've got two guys the crowd doesn't care a lick about. It's weird. Like, if it was a Royal Rumble, they'll care about Kofi, but, like, every other night, they don't. So the two guys that the crowd doesn't care about, I was just shocked they went so long because, you know. But anyway, they went 14 minutes and
14 very minutes. I mean, you know what's funny about this match is you would think they would be setting up Del Rio for Batista, seeing as how he's cutting promos on him. But if that's the case, if I were Batista, I'd be so pissed off. The middle of this match, nobody cares. The crowd starts chanting for the announcers. So what do the announcers do? They start standing up and acknowledging the fans.
Oh, yeah.
Which gets the fans
fell off the top rope.
Even more out of the match. Yeah, Del Rio's bumping off the top and killing himself. And meanwhile, the fans are chanting for the announcers.
Totally stole the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when Lawler stood up to take the bow.
They both did.
Yeah.
I think they both did. So I'm sure Dave was thrilled about that.
Dave, how about Del Rio?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't matter if he gets mad. It matters if Batista gets mad.
Yeah.
It's a decent match, actually. SOS, foot on the rope spot, lots of near falls. Fans were chanting Kofi by the end, and then Del Rio stomped him off the top and his super kick pinned him clean. So it turned out all right, but nobody cared. Nobody cared. We had the Outlaws against the Rhodes family in a rematch for the tag team titles, which, of course, changed hands at the Royal Rumble pre-show.
Did you hear what Jerry Lawler said during this match?
About what?
About how the match favors both teams. That was like, and I mean, even like, you know, both of the announcers, you know, Cole and JBL just go, no, explain that.
Well, they're both tag teams, and so a tag team match favors both teams.
No. The point that favors both teams is the fact that, no, what he was talking about is the having the rematch 24 hours later favored both teams.
And like, I see.
How is that possible if you're trying to make a point? It either favors, if it favors both teams, then it doesn't either favor either team.
Well, what was the response from JBL?
JBL isn't the one who said it. Lawler said it.
No, but what was
JBL
the response?
Was the one who was on his case.
The response from JBL.
That just what I just said. It's impossible. Hmm. What do you mean? And then Lawler tried to say, well, it favors the Rhodes brothers because they lost and they're mad and they want it back, but it favors the Outlaws because they're on a roll and they won.
Sounds like an argument I'd make. Yeah. Quite frankly. Well, the Outlaws came out and they did a promo, said they were the best. Rhodes family was good, but not good enough. Broke down into a fight, and then broke down into a tag match. Tons of stalling. Outlaws stalled forever. Cody made a comeback. Then he had a double springboard dropkick. And then, who should come out? He had seen enough. Brock Lesnar hit the ring for the disqualification. Killed Cody with the F5. Killed Goldust with the F5. Killed both men with chair shots. Heyman explained that management had said no to both of Brock's options, and thus he would run roughshod tonight, which he did. And I guess he will keep running roughshod until he is put into the chamber. Still can't figure out what other heel could go in that damn chamber. It's driving me nuts. Maybe it will be Del Rio. I don't know. We had the Bellas and the Funkadactyls against Oksana, Tamina, AJ, and Alicia. Remember when Oksana was getting that big push?
Well, she had going back and forth with Nikki for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Like everything.
I bet you anything it was some sort of wacky storyline for Total Divas.
Yeah, it's possible.
Like Cena and Nikki had some sort of breakup, and thus she had to start losing on Raw, and then after 2 weeks they made up, and now she's a hero again. Which, by the way, would be a hell of a storyline to get Nikki Bella over.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, this match was fine. So
I didn't think so.
Really? Oh, dear God, Dave. Do you watch women's matches? By women's standards, this was not bad.
Did you see when Oksana was and Nikki Bella were trying to do elbow drops, and they kept missing, and then One would miss and then sell like she was hit or something.
Well, I figured out what happened there. Oksana was supposed to drop an elbow and Nikki Bella would move out of the way, but yeah. Nikki Bella forgot. So Oksana dropped an elbow and missed, expecting Nikki to move, but Nikki didn't move. So then they just did the spot all over again. That was bad. I won't defend that.
No, she hits the elbow, and then Nikki, who got hit with the elbow, jumped up like it didn't hurt her.
Because I think she was supposed to miss the second time.
But she got hit.
Doesn't matter. That wasn't the spot.
It wasn't that good, Brian.
But this match was...
I mean, the rest of it was
his match
there,
was
you
all
know.
Right.
She hit her hip attack. You know, for the finish was timed perfectly once they got everybody out of the ring.
AJ and Naomi were in there. Naomi hit the rear view, got the pin. That was
the multiple person superplex spot was a suplex spot was cool.
That's right, 3-on-3 superplex.
But I thought they were out there for too long. Wouldn't. And it wasn't like the people cared or anything.
And that led to our Hall of Fame induction announcement for the week. Jake the Snake Roberts is going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Good for him.
Had a couple of network plugs throughout the evening. They had the Mania Rewind. And then there was another one as well. I forget. Oh, Monday Night War. So we saw this anyway. And finally, we had the Shield against John Cena, Daniel Bryan, and Sheamus in an elimination match where there were no eliminations. Roman Reigns was pushed super hard in this match. There were Roman Reigns chants. It was Sheamus's first full match back on television.
I thought he did real well.
He did fine.
He certainly did better than Batista did like last night.
Never would have known he was gone. Babyfaces ran wild forever. Then they got a heat on Cena. Roman Reigns was just in there dominating John Cena. He has his Superman punch into a spear setup, but then he was thrown outside. Cena hit the FU on Ambrose, made the hot tag to Bryan. Bryan runs wild, breaks down. Reigns speared both Sheamus and Cena. Bryan hit the knee on Reigns. Rollins made the save. And ended up with Bryan and Rollins having a collision. Cena got a tag, put the STF on Roman Reigns. And the key spot was Roman Reigns didn't get the ropes, everybody. Roman Reigns powered out of the STF.
That was very well done.
Yep. And then suddenly the lights went out. The Wyatt's music played. They attacked Cena and the Babyfaces for the disqualification. This meant the Babyfaces are in the Elimination Chamber match. The Shield is not. The Shield was outraged, absolutely outraged, destroying stuff at ringside, screaming, yelling. And like I said, probably Shield and Wyatt's at the Chamber. And the key, by the way, to all of this at the very end is John Cena's team won. And as the show went off the air, they didn't play John Cena's music, everybody. They played Daniel Bryan's music. And he did the S chants. People chanted along. And that is how the show went off the air. So there you go. We'll see. I like what they did with Roman Reigns.
Oh, they're doing a great job making him into a star.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The idea is that he's going to be the guy, you know, I mean, like the heir apparent to John Cena. Whether that'll ever happen, I don't know, but that is the working plan.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, a lot of that depends on, I mean, again, we've seen him in short promos as part of the Shield, and his he delivers his lines very well and everything, but their, you know, top face role, you know, you got to be pretty glib on the mic. And he may be great at it. I don't know, but that's the one thing. I mean, physically, look wise, you know, he's got a great look, and his work is coming along. I mean, he's improved greatly in the last year. In singles matches, I mean, he ain't off the charts as a singles guy. I mean, but again, it's not like they expect him in that role, you know, for a couple of years anyway. I mean, even though I suspect the babyface turn is not too far from now.
So the Association of Ringside Physicians made a recommendation regarding TRT and mixed martial arts. And many of you will be shocked to learn that they are against it.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah. What does this mean?
I don't know what it really means. I'm trying to find out what it means. It's just that the doc. This, now, this is not all the. It's like, here's the thing. There's like, not every physician that governs boxing and MMA is a member of this group. It is a group of. It is a group of physicians. It's their consensus opinion. That does not mean that the commissions will go by it. It doesn't mean that they won't. I mean, it's certainly a movement where it becomes a subject. And Dana White, when he was asked about it, kind of said, is that what they decide? That's fine. You know, he didn't have anything against that. It's a weird thing because it's probably something that should happen, and I think most people want it to happen. But there's also then you're going to have some fighters who, are going to without it are kind of fucked. I don't know how it's all going to go down, but it's going to be interesting. And between that and Vitor Belfort in Nevada. Which is going to be a very interesting test case, to say the least, on what's going to go down there. So, this is potentially big because if they take that away, then it's really going to be not allowed. I mean, there's guys who are still going to do it, but they're going to have to get off, enough to, be clean when fight time comes, or if they're a main eventer and they're in a state like Nevada, which does test guys on occasion, not always, but does test main eventers sometimes a month out or something like that, then you better hope they don't get caught because if that's missed time, they could be in trouble.
All right, on to the questions here. This person on Twitter says, can you please ask Dave about Kenta being at a WWE tryout yesterday?
Kenta had a WWE tryout yesterday?
That is, I don't know if that's the case. I'd heard someone mention that today, but I didn't.
That would be almost impossible because I'm trying to think. I know Kenta worked. God, I don't think he worked today, but he worked yesterday. So I guess where would this tryout have been?
The Performance Center, allegedly.
So he would have flown. I mean, I guess it's possible he could do that, but did the tour end? I'm not even sure if the tour ended. I know that he just worked. I got lineups for this week. So are they? Hold on. You go to something else. Let me just check to see what their schedule is because I can look at their schedule and see what's up.
All righty.
Even possible. I hadn't heard it.
All righty. We'll have an update tomorrow one way or the other, everybody.
It's only going to take me a second.
Well,
so just ask another question while I'm looking.
But if your schedule says that he was somewhere else, doesn't mean he was there.
Well, yeah, they don't you don't no show in pro wrestling NOAH, especially when you're Kenta. So, yeah, that would mean if he was scheduled, he's going to be there. Let me just look at the schedule. Hold on.
All right, I'll jump to this.
What day is today? Today is the 27th, and he did not
today
have to show
today. Today's the 28th.
No, he doesn't have any shows this week, so.
So there you go.
Doesn't have, I think the next show is the 2nd, is it? I don't even see. His tour just ended, so I guess it's possible. I mean, it's not like any shows this week, so yeah.
All right, we'll update on that tomorrow, everybody. All right, wouldn't a Money in the Bank match at Mania solve a lot of WWE issues for Daniel Bryan? With a loaded card, you can turn the rumored Bryan and Sheamus match into a Money in the Bank match, get 6 more of your regulars on the card, have Bryan go over, and then right after the match, declare that the next pay-per-view is in his hometown of Seattle. It is Extreme Rules, so no matter who wins the title match later in the show, he is facing the winner and doing so in a last man standing match or whatever stipulation they would like.
You could do that. I think that they should do a three-way with Batista, Randy Orton, and Daniel Bryan for the championship. I think that solves more problems because Daniel Bryan does have to be in one of the top matches, and being one of six guys in Money in the Bank, I mean, it's like that's going to be five matches down. I think he should be higher on the card than that. And right now, when I'm looking at the crowd reaction to Dave Batista, you know what I mean? I think six more weeks of him. I don't know how much him and Randy Orton, especially since he's either going to be a heel, so you got heel versus heel, or he's going to be some drifter in the middle of nowhere, babyface that they don't really want to cheer because he's not Daniel Bryan. I think that match, if it's not on very early in the card, if they put, you know, has great potential to completely flop. I think that the smart move is to turn into a three-way.
This person here says Mike Johnson reported the Kenta to.
There may be something to it. What did he say?
Apparently, just said he was at the Performance Center yesterday, which I guess would have been Sunday. I'm not sure exactly what day that would have been.
Sunday. I don't think he could have been there Sunday.
Hold on, I don't know what day.
Monday. I mean, he could have been there Monday. Sunday would have been pushing it. I don't know if that's possible. Let me look at my notes on. I think Noah had the big show Saturday. I think it was, but Saturday to Sunday. That's a long trip. That's a long trip.
Yeah. What is the update with Sting?
There's no update with Sting.
No update.
No.
What is the update with Ariel Helwani?
Just what we said last night.
No update.
No, I mean there's definitely something going on.
Yeah.
He's still with Fox. UFC Tonight is going to be tomorrow night. I'm presuming he will be on that show. I have the impression, since he said he was not going to the weigh-in, that he was not going to be a reporter at the weigh-ins as he has been in the past, and that they put Megan Levy, you know, she was the one who replaced him on the last show, and I presume that she'll probably replace him on this one as well. They were mad about him covering the Bellator press conference, but he's still with Fox at least at this point, as far as I know. You know, and I expect he's going to, like I said, UFC Tonight airs tomorrow night, and I expect him on the show. If he's not on the show, then maybe they docked him for a little while. But he is definitely still with Fox as of at least last night, if not this morning. As of this morning, for sure, so.
All right, this person says the Mike Johnson report also says Prince Devitt has an offer on the table.
That's true. Yeah, he's had an offer on the table for months, and he has not signed with New Japan yet. I don't know if he's considering the offer or not. But in Japan, Tokyo Sports had already reported that he's got to make his decision right now. But he's had that offer. He's had an offer from WWE for months.
All right. This person says on the January 6th episode of Ultimate Insider, Joe Rogan counts down his ultimate eight seasons of Ultimate Fighter rivalries. Conspicuous by his absence is Shamrock Ortiz. How is that possible? Ortiz Franklin versus Liddell was even ranked.
Yeah, you know why it's possible. We all know why it's possible because,
they're on the outs.
Ortiz and Liddell included Liddell, and Liddell works for UFC, and he's one of their all time legends. Ortiz and Shamrock are both on the bad list, so that's how they do their thing. Is if you're on the bad list, they're not going to publicize you, and they don't like Ken, and they don't like Tito. So there's your answer. I mean, you know that's the answer. It's like that's just how. I'm not defending it. It's just how it is. I personally don't like it, but that's how UFC's in those ways. UFC's can be similar to WWE, and WWE used to do the same thing and would do the same thing.
Is JoJo being released or just off Total Divas?
She hasn't been released yet, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if for her to be released, but it hadn't happened yet.
Why no CM Punk on Raw?
I don't know. Maybe he was given the day off.
He had the weekend off.
What?
He had the weekend off.
Well, he worked Sunday.
Well, obviously, but other than that, he had the weekend off.
Well, it was only one show, because the only show he missed was Canton. And that's because he had, you know, he went to the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had scheduled, he actually went to, I think it was Portland, Oregon. It was Portland, Oregon,
yes,
wasn't it? He went to Portland, Oregon in the morning, and then he came back to watch the UFC that night.
How would Dave compare the situation with what happened at the Rumble with the crowd turning on the show to what happened in WCW 91 when Ric Flair was fired and the crowd completely hijacked the Great American Bash? Are the situations similar or completely different?
Well, they're different because Ric Flair was working for another company, so there was nothing that, you know, he was in a contract to another company, so there was really nothing WCW could do but look bad, whereas in this one, you know, the whole thing's an angle now, so it's, you know, you make it work for you. So it's, you know, I mean, they were both fan protests, but one, it's like, what can WCW do? They'd already blown it. Whereas WWE, you know, they're going to make it work, or they're going to attempt to make it work. They're going to, you know, they're trying. I mean, they're trying. They're, you know, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I say this, you know, it's like all that stuff on the BBC website. I mean, that was very impressive, considering that tweet that they used was, you know, a storyline tweet. So they basically got a storyline, storyline coverage as you know, essentially a storyline being real in on the BBC. And that's, you know, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, you know, every wrestling promotion in the world would love to have something like that happen.
This person wants to know, do you see Kurt Angle re-signing with TNA?
That's a very good question. I would sense that he would probably get, I think it'd be very hard pressed for him to make the money he's making. I mean, the guys that were in his ballpark, you know, obviously Hogan made a lot more than he did, but Sting and him were in the same ballpark, and AJ was actually making, you know, significantly less than him, but those guys were all, you know, not going to make the same. So, and the guys were under contracts that are significant money contracts with the company right now. All pretty much know that they're not going to make the same. So I would say that Kurt will probably get a lower offer. And what he's going to do at that point, I don't know. Maybe he'll retire. I don't see him wrestling in WWE. I could see him going into the Hall of Fame there, but I don't see him. He says, and of course it's Kurt, but he says that his hand is numb. If his hand is numb, then he's not wrestling in WWE. That's not going to happen. Now, could he pass a WWE physical? Not if his hand is numb. He's not passing that physical, no. If his hand isn't numb, he's just saying that, then...
I'm shocked it's taken this many years for his hand to go numb.
Well, with all those neck problems, I mean, I'm sure... He's had numbness in his hands dating back 10 years. 10 years was when he...
And so it's more frequently longer. Numb now, or it's number, or what's the issue?
I don't know. He just had mentioned that in an interview that he did over the weekend, that his hand was numb.
Maybe he shouldn't be doing moonsaults off a goddamn cage.
Well, you know what? If his hand is numb, he shouldn't be wrestling. Less than just moonsaults off the cage at that point. But I remember him saying, you know, I mean, it wasn't numb 24/7, but I remember he had days when his hand was numb. And I mean, I'm going back 2003. So it's 11, you know, well, yeah, 11 years, because it was early 2003. So that's a pretty, you know, it's still, I don't know. That's bad stuff.
All right, one more here. With the rumored arrival of Sting and the past rumors of Undertaker Sting as a Mania match and the Daniel Bryan controversy, would the WWE consider Daniel Bryan Brock Lesnar for the WWE title? and put Undertaker versus Sting in place of the planned Undertaker-Brock match?
I don't anticipate that happening. I mean, you know, you could do it.
What does Sting do if he signs? Does he just induct Warrior, or what does he do?
Right now, the plan's for Hogan to induct Warrior. Hopefully that changes, but that's a different issue. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Sting does. I mean, it's like, what could he do at Mania? I mean, other than make an appearance, you know, he can induct Warrior, probably the best guy to do it. But yeah, I mean, is there a match? I mean, who's there that he could have a match with? You know, and here's the other thing with Sting. It's like, at least right now, we're already five deep. So Sting, like, six from the top. I mean, you know, so in a match, it probably won't have time. I mean, so what do you, like how big of a guy to have Sting? Because he's got to go over in it, you know, unless it's, you know, I mean, he could lose to Undertaker for sure. But if he's six from the top or something, he really needs to go over. So who, you know, and do you, you know, and Heath Slater doesn't, you know, at WrestleMania, that you know, that ain't going to fly. So who do you sacrifice for him? I mean, you can do it. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, guys on the roster you can do it with, like Ryback. But I guess it could be Ryback. God, that would, well, again, it's a 2-minute match. I guess whatever.
A lot of people talking about Money in the Bank. At this point, everybody, I don't think there's a Money in the Bank match scheduled for WrestleMania.
No. Money in the Bank's their own pay-per-view. There's not a Money in the Bank match scheduled at Mania.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. We've had a million shows up over the last several days, all of them up right now for subscribers, so head up there and check that out. For those of you listening in on the stream, if you have the TuneIn Radio app, the stream is now up on TuneIn Radio. If you search Wrestling Observer or F4W Live, I know a lot of people use TuneIn, so head up there and check that out. Add it as a favorite, and you'll always have an opportunity to listen with the TuneIn Radio app. So we're going to head out for today. We got a lot of shows coming up tomorrow as well, so check the front page for more, and we shall talk to you again very soon.